Let's Get Moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. Today we're going to talk about the relationship between stress and sleep. And with me, Dr. Kelly Barron, professor in the Division of Public Health, Department of Family and Preventative Medicine, and a clinical psychologist with specialty training in behavioral sleep medicine. Doctor, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you so much.
Let's begin to talk about stress. First of all, how is stress affecting us today?
Well, stress is one of the biggest factors in sleep and health. You know, it's one of those things that stress is necessary for life, and to have no stress would also be bad for us. But having too much stress has, you know, as you know, a huge downstream effect on our mood, our behaviors. And, you know, my area is really how it affects people's sleep.
So how is it impacting our sleep quality?
It's really one of the number one reasons why people come in to my office to see me for sleep problems. And, you know, across the population that, you know, when people are under stress, they take a longer time to fall asleep. They wake up in the night, or they might wake up too early, and they also feel unrefreshed from their sleep. And I like to explain it to patients in this way, is that it really probably comes from an evolutionary origin that you know, when you think about it, when you're under stress, you're under a threat, and you shouldn't sleep deeply. That would be really dangerous, you know, so we're at attention. But the problem with that is that most of the stressors of these days are not, you know, a short thing. They're a long thing that's on our mind that's going on a long time. And so over time, it gets exhausting. But it's still the same process, this really early biological fight or flight stress response. It makes the depth of sleep lighter. You know, on the polysomnography, you can see that there's more awakenings, there's more beta frequency. So even when you're sleeping, you feel like you're still listening and that sort of thing. And so there's a biological effect on sleep. And then, you know, also when people are not sleeping well and they were under stress, there's also a downstream effect on people's behaviors. They're less likely to exercise or eating worse food, which then makes sleep worse and makes people feel more stressed. So it's really a vicious cycle.
For most of us, we aren't going to be able to get rid of stress. So what can we do to maybe better manage that stress?
So, you know, all those things that go out the window when you're under stress, those are the times you need them the most. And so that is making time for exercise, even if it's a 10-minute walk, you know, focusing on getting some healthy food. And then other ways of dealing with stress are to reinterpret, to, you know, get social support, you know, to discuss your problems with either a friend, you know, a trusted person in your life, a confidant, or even a therapist. And then also addressing if there's depression or anxiety, you know, getting help for that, whether it's therapy or medications, to try to mitigate the effect of stress in your life. And, you know, people come to see me with stressors, big and small. You know, it could be just like, oh, what school is my kid going to get into, which is a big stressor, but kind of like a first world problem. And sometimes there are huge problems of, you know, kids who have substance abuse problems or things like that. You see, I'm mentioning kids because that's probably one of the biggest stressors in life. But, you know, job, financial problems, you know, paying bills. There are so many things that are stressful in life. And that's just, unfortunately, are things that people deal with for years and years. And so getting the support you can to help you cope with those and kind of take them one step at a time.
Many of us know that we're losing some sleep over stress or have lost sleep over stress. But when does it get to a point where we're really sleep deprived? I mean, what are some of the warning signs that we really need to do something about it?
And so, you know, insomnia is really a subjective condition, meaning that it's really about how you feel about your sleep. But if we had to put a number to it, you know, somewhere between, for adults, you know, 6 and 9 hours of sleep. So, you know, not everybody can get 8 hours of sleep, but if you're at least getting 6 or so, generally, that's considered in the okay range. And then, you know, not taking hours and hours to fall asleep, falling asleep within 30 minutes, being up for an hour or less in the night. You know, not that most people don't have zero awakenings, but getting up and getting back to sleep within 30 minutes or so, getting up once or twice is pretty normal. But, you know, the main thing is, too, how you feel during the day. You know, if you feel frustrated by your sleep, if you feel like you're tossing and turning for hours, that's where you should really say, like, okay, I need to do what I can for my sleep. Because even when you're under a lot of stress, that's really where you need to make it count at night. And even if it's not the best sleep, to try to be the best you can right then. Because, you know, I often do talk about this with my patients. It's when you're under a huge stressor, it's not going to be your best sleep. But how can it be the best that you can make it?
Are you seeing more people recently who are more sleep deprived or under more stress than you've seen in the past? Is this a growing problem?
I really think it is. You know, ever since the pandemic, our system, the mental health system, has really just been flooded with people who are feeling stressed and burned out and that sort of thing. More and more people are being asked to do more at work with less resources. There's more things being piled on, and, you know, the financial stress of things has been really hard. So stress has been here since the beginning of time, but people, they feel like they're under more stress these days.
So what do people experience when they go through sleep deprivation for long periods of time? I mean, how do we drive this home that it really is important that you get enough sleep?
I would really hope that people know that sleep is one of the resources that can help you cope with stress better and making adequate time for sleep. When people are sleep deprived, the world feels harder. Like the next day after you don't have a bad night of sleep, problems feel less solvable. It feels more overwhelming. And so getting good sleep is something that you can do to help yourself cope a little bit better. Oftentimes people are staying up to try to get a few more things done, but actually getting that sleep rather than trading it in for getting a few more things done in the day might actually help you in the long run. You know, even when it comes to kids and homework, oftentimes I'll say, you know, even get it done in the morning versus trying to stay up late and finish it, because getting that night of sleep is more important to your learning.
You bring up an important point. This isn't just about older people, adults. Kids go through stressors that also cause them to be sleep deprived.
Yeah, teenagers are some of the worst offenders out there for sleep. They have the hardest thing because they have to stay up late and do their homework. They're also not sleepy when they really need to be to get ready to go to bed for school. And then their school starts so early. There's some schools starting at 6 or 7 in the morning, when the American College of Pediatrics recommends starting at 8:30 or after for high schools, because they're just zombies in the morning. And so helping kids get on the right schedule is super important, and helping them time manage so they can unwind and get ready for sleep and then get up and be ready for school in the morning.
How do you feel about things like melatonin and other prescription drugs that help you with sleep? Do they really solve the problem?
So melatonin is really, it's interesting because it's been shown to help sleep, especially in some cases with kids or in older adults. It's not particularly healthy in kind of regular adults in many cases, although if they've tried it. You know, for adults, most people have shown that it is not particularly helpful, but also is unlikely to be harmful. When it comes to kids and adolescents, melatonin is a bit controversial. First of all, there's been a ton of melatonin poisonings and poison control calls that kids have gotten their hands on the melatonin gummies and eaten the whole thing. And so they've now recommended to change it to some of those childproof caps, for example. The other thing is, you know, melatonin is not a quick fix, but we don't know for sure what the long-term outcomes are on kids before puberty. Melatonin is a hormone that's involved in seasonal breeding in the animal kingdom and also in puberty development. And so one of the thoughts is that, you know, not to just go out and give it to any kid, but to really make sure to maximize all the behavioral options and other treatments before going right to melatonin.
Doctor, any final thoughts that you'd like to leave us with?
Well, I guess I would just say that if you're having sleep problems, you don't have to suffer with them alone. Seek out some effective treatment, whether it's cognitive behavioral therapy, find yourself a sleep center, you know, find some online treatment. There's some great online CBT programs for insomnia. And then, you know, if it's stress, seek out trying to help you manage the stress. That stress is a part of life, and getting that support should be something that people don't feel embarrassed about, that they get that support they need, because life is inherently stressful and so many people have so much going on right now.
Doctor, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us.
Thank you.
My guest today has been Dr. Kelly Barron, professor in the Division of Public Health, Department of Family and Preventative Medicine, and a clinical psychologist with specialty training in behavioral sleep medicine. Thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. Check out all of our health and fitness tips on our socials. You can find us at Moving Maria on Instagram and at Let's Get Moving with Maria on Facebook. Have a great day.